Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for a new year of this program as we document the nature of and the challenges posed by our times, existential threats to freedom, and what I call the war for the free world. I'm very pleased to say our first guest in this new year is my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, Claire Lopez, our Vice President for Research and Analysis, an extraordinarily accomplished professional with some 20 years of service in the clandestine services of the Central Intelligence Agency. She has become one of our country's foremost experts on Iran and the jihad more generally, but it is a particular pleasure to have her with us to talk a bit about the latest developments, quite momentous developments, in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Claire Lopez, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio and a Happy New Year to you. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. Glad to be with you and Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. So, Claire, give us a quick sense of what has been happening during this holiday period on the ground in, it seems, a substantial and growing number of Iranian cities.
Well, what began in the period just after Christmas and between Christmas and New Year's as an uprising of protest about the economy, high prices and the corruption of officials that were held to blame for that, very quickly morphed into a much more generalized uprising against the regime itself. The difference between these protests today and those back in 2009 after the fraudulent election of that year, I think primarily is in scope and numbers of cities involved. Right now, as of the sixth day and counting for these protests, you've got cities, dozens and dozens of cities and towns all over Iran in an uproar. Unfortunately, the death toll has passed 20 that we know of, probably more than that, and hundreds injured, many hundreds under arrest. But what we do see is that there is a difference in the tone of the protesters, and that is, instead of calling for just economic measures, they are now calling outright death to Khamenei, the supreme leader, death to the regime, even death to Rouhani, the president. They are seeking nothing less than regime change at this point.
This is a refreshing change, of course, from the approved calls for death, which have been since 1979, as you know so well, Claire Lopez, death to America and death to Israel. This is a potentially transformative moment, and regime change, if indeed that is the objective, and if the government is unable to suppress this, it could well pose the best opportunity, at least since 2009, when President Obama allowed a similar opportunity, perhaps to slip away, for accomplishing an end to the danger that is posed by this regime. If you were making book on it, Claire Lopez, how realistic is that prospect at the moment?
It's hard to say at this point. Things are still gathering steam. The regime has yet to apply the full force of its security services to putting down the protesters. In part, it apparently seems, from what are alleged to be leaked documents out of the top leadership of the Iranian regime, that they are divided themselves at the top about what to do about the protests and whether cracking down hard would have perhaps an opposite effect of what's intended. Furthermore, I suspect that there is some doubt about the loyalty, even within some of the security services, certainly among police at the local level, perhaps even among more national level security services. So all of that can work to our favor. I think that we have an unmatched opportunity right now with President Trump in the White House. Certainly the bully pulpit, the leadership aspect of President Trump standing in support, openly voicing support via Twitter for the protesters, and their rights to a representative government that's not oppressive and terrorist goes a long way to supporting them. I think in addition, though, one of the most important things that we can ask or should ask the Trump administration to do is to help them, the protesters, with communications. As we know, they were using Instagram and Telegram social media to communicate across the country from city to city. By the way, this is a lot of students involved in this, former and current university students, a lot of it organized under the National Iranian Congress leadership. But they need communications help, and the U.S. government could help with that by providing dedicated bandwidth on a satellite that would be impervious to jamming and blocking.
Yeah. Well, you've had experience in clandestine operations, and I think your insights into what can be done are most needed at this moment, Claire, because it would be tragic in the extreme if these people clearly aspiring to liberate themselves from a regime that not only oppresses them but threatens us were, again, to be allowed to slip away. Claire, let me ask you, as we're talking about Iran, of course, it is a threat not only to its own people and to us, but to our friends and allies in the region. It is becoming more aggressive. You've described on this program and elsewhere the Iranians' ambitions to carve out a Shiite crescent. And the Saudis are clearly very much in the crosshairs of the Iranians at the moment and are pushing back, it seems. Where does that stand, the Shiite crescent gambit? And again, what should we be doing about it?
Well, there are, in a way, two crescents. If you might think of the geography of the region there, one is a land bridge, which is all but established now, that runs from Iran's territory itself through Iraq, on up through that desert area that crosses the border with what used to be called Syria, and over to the Mediterranean itself. The other crescent or encirclement, really, if you will, that the Saudi regime sees as so threatening, and rightly so, is a geographic encirclement by puppet regimes and terror proxies of the Arabian Peninsula itself. Baghdad is a puppet regime of Tehran, and then on down to the Iranian support for the Houthi rebels in Yemen, which of course puts the very strategic Bab al-Mandeb Strait between the Arabian Peninsula and Africa at threat. So two different kinds of crescents in a way, but they're aimed not just at encirclement of Israel, which pretty much took place a long time ago from Gaza to Lebanon and around, but now encircling the entire Arabian Peninsula. And I think that the Saudi leadership, certainly under the very dynamic Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, is fully aware of this and is unbelievably in discussions with the Israelis about it and with us. The Trump administration, too, should be, I think rightly so, working with the Saudis to counter what is the greater threat of the jihadist regime in Iran, simply because they are on the verge of deploying deliverable nuclear weapons.
Indeed. Claire, very quickly, we have had something else break in the interval of the Christmas holidays, and that was a story in Politico about President Obama's essentially shutting down an effort by the Drug Enforcement Agencies and other elements of the U.S. government to counter the Iranian proxy group Hezbollah as it was running drugs into this country by the tons, raising money for their operations and otherwise threatening us. I just wonder, Claire, looking back on the legacy of Barack Obama in this connection and the Obama bomb deal and the whole notion that we could, in fact, cozy up to the Iranians and normalize that regime, just very quickly, your reading on it as we look at it today.
Well, you know, we've known for a very long time about the expanding presence of both Iran through its diplomatic missions and Islamic centers it has established, as well as commercial firms and other things in Latin America, as well as where it always goes in partnership, the Hezbollah presence throughout Latin America, South America in particular, but on up now with drug trafficking through Central America. Hezbollah, long known to be allied with Mexican drug cartels like the Zetas, like the Sinaloa, like the Gulf cartels, and those in collaboration running guns, running drugs, running who knows what across the southern border of the United States with Mexico.
A frightening security issue for all of us. Claire, we have to leave it at that, but I think it's fair to say that this legacy of the Obama years is going to be a bitter and potentially very dangerous one for us. Thank you for the terrific work you do for us at the Center for Security Policy. Claire Lopez, our Vice President for Research and Analysis. I know you'll keep it up and come back to us often in 2018. Next up, Elaine Donnelly joins us. We'll talk about another troubling development, the attack on the United States military from federal judges. What on earth is up with that? Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.